This is Audible.
The dead belong to Nagash. Even those who flee my grasp are yet my chattel. I can feel them still. I can feel them as they draw near. For all that I have been searching for them, they have come to me. The dead know their master, and they come at his call. They do not belong to Sigmar. Sigmar the Deceiver, Sigmar the Barbarian, Sigmar the Traitor, who almost cost the Undying King his kingdom. None may challenge Nagash. Nagash is all. Nagash is the sun and the void. Nagash is the core of all things. And it is by his will alone that this realm is suspended. His shoulders bear the weight of the realm of death, and his will alone holds back the assaults of chaos. Nagash endures. Nagash is inevitable. Out of this desolation will come perfect order. By his hands shall the coarse geometries be aligned once more, and reality set to rights. Where Nagash stirs, chaos recedes. I shall wreak terrible agonies upon my enemies. I shall not stay my wrath wherever it leads, even unto the golden pillars of Azirheim. He who takes that which is mine shall be broken on the altar of his own hubris. I shall not be denied. Nagash cannot be denied. He has come among you, and there is no escape. When Nagash commands your surrender, his voice is legion. Where he strides, stars gutter out. Where he stands, the earth grows. With a gesture, he can dry the seas or melt the ice. All other gods are but shadows of Nagash. Sigmar or Khorne, Dark God or Light. They will fall before Nagash. There will be no god but Nagash. The sun has set forever. Nagash stands in its place. His Mortars return to him from their sojourns in the dark to serve and obey as is their purpose. They are Nagash's will made manifest. His cunning given form. His fury unleashed. All are one in Nagash. See what I have wrought. Imagine what is yet to come. Where I pass, confusion and fear are snuffed like candle flames, for Nagash is the earth here. Nagash is the end of all things, and he will liberate you from your servitude. I cannot be destroyed. The Dark Lord tried. He broke my bones asunder and cast my spirit into the void. But I cannot be destroyed. I cannot be stopped. I shall have vengeance on those who stood against me. Against all the thieves and the betrayers. What has been stolen shall be reclaimed. The souls of the stolen draw near, and what I cannot have, I will destroy. In the ruins of all that is, I shall make a new order. Such is my will. Such is the will of Nagash.
Warhammer, Age of Sigmar, the Realmgate Wars. The Bridge of Seven Sorrows by Josh Reynolds. Performed by Gareth Armstrong, John Banks, Toby Longworth, Saul Reichlin, Louis Soto, and Ramon Tickerap.
Drive them back, Stormcasts!
Tarsus swept his hammer out and smashed a blood reaver to the ground. He parried a blow from a sawtoothed axe and drove his elbow into its wielder's crude helm, crushing it. His weapons crackled with holy lightning as he struck out left and right, dropping an enemy with every blow. The Blood Reavers were maniacs, but mortal, and none of them could stand before the Lord Celestant of the Bullhearts. They began to break away, falling back in confusion.
Who will be victorious?
The enemy retreated through the stinking fog that clung to the immense skull cairns which dominated the plains. More than once, the clamor of battle had caused one of these cairns to shed an avalanche of skulls, or else collapse entirely, sending a flood of bone rattling across the ground.
Only the faithful!
The hallowed knights who fought alongside him were arrayed in a battle line. Each and every Stormcast had shed his mortal flesh in the name of a righteous cause. They were the souls of the faithful, drawn from the length and breadth of the mortal realms and reforged to strike down the enemies of Sigmar with righteous fury. Clad in star-forged Sigmarite, the Stormcasts wore shoulder plates marked with the emblem of their warrior chamber, the curling white slashes of a bull's horns. Their heavy shields were emblazoned with the sigil of Sigmar. Those shields were put to good use as they marched steadily forward, driving the foe before them. Hammers rose and fell, and broken bodies were left in their wake, to lie forgotten amidst the tumult of white flowers which shrouded the ground as far as the eye could see.
Who shall walk at Sigmar's right hand?
Only the faithful!
Tarsus brought his weapons together above his head. Lightning sparked between them. Many of the Blood Reavers were running now, their rage fading in the face of an all too relentless enemy. The Bullhearts thumped their hammers against the inside of their shields in a brutal rhythm.
Who will stand though the world burns? Who will face death with shield and hammer? Who broke the back of the foe at the Cerulean shore?
Only the faithful!
The Stormcasts struck down their enemies, and Tarsus nodded in grim satisfaction. The Bullhearts had fought their way over mountains and across trackless wastes, through shattered ruins and the bowels of the earth, all to reach this point. They had clashed with the servants of the ruinous powers again and again, but had always been triumphant, as they would be now. Not all of the Blood Reavers had fled. Some flung themselves at the shield wall, as if to halt its momentum through sheer audacity. They were trampled underfoot, and the Stormcasts marched on after the others, pursuing them through the skull cairns. As the Stormhost passed between two great piles of bones, built in the ruins of a pair of shattered pyramids, the slopes erupted in armored warriors. Skull Reapers clad in crimson and brass, dozens of the maddened devotees of the Blood God hurled themselves at the Stormcasts, leaping from the cairns to crash down through the fog and land amidst the shield wall. Bolts of blue shot upwards as Stormcasts perished beneath the berserk assault. As they focused on this new threat, the Skull Reapers were joined by others of their vile kind, pouring out from between the cairns and howling abominable hymns. Tarsus swatted a leaping Blood Reaver out of the air and chopped down a second. A moment later, he staggered as a blow crashed against his back. He wheeled about to see a blood warrior lunging for him through the fog. The air seemed to shimmer around the berserker as he stabbed a spiked gauntlet at Tarsus's face. The Lord Celestant parried the blow at the last second, knocking the warrior to the ground and bludgeoning him to death.
Too slow this time, Ramus.
Tarsus glanced at the Lord Relictor, striding out of the melee. Ramus of the Shadowed Soul was a grim figure. It was he who kept the souls of the hallowed knights of his warrior chamber from the gloom of the underworld with words, fire, and faith. The reliquary staff he carried pulsed with a blue nimbus of lightning as he swung it out to knock a Skull Reaper flat.
Their rout was a trap,
as he said it would be.
Tarsus caught a blow on his hammer and turned it aside, then removed the Skull Reaper's head from his shoulders.
A child could have seen it. Where is he?
Rammus's hammer thudded down, cracking the skull of a Blood Reaver. Before Tarsus could reply, the cairns which rose above them began to tremble and clatter. The sound drowned out the clamor of battle and was so pervasive that it even penetrated the mindless fury of the Bloodbound. Tarsus looked around and saw a faint purple haze rising from the piled skulls. With a rush of cold air, a pale mist began to spill down the slopes of the cairns to mingle with the fog below. It spread swiftly, threading between the legs of the combatants, obscuring everything.
There!
Ghostly hands rose from the fog to clutch at the Bloodbound. Weapons slashed uselessly, and cries of rage soon became screams of fear. One by one, the servants of Khorne were dragged down into the haze, which soon flushed red. Only a few avoided this fate, stumbling free of their ethereal attackers, but the storm casts did not let them get far. One of the Blood Warriors tore his way clear of the mist and wheeled about with a wild oath, eyes blazing. Before Tarsus could move to go after him, something crashed into the side of the cairn above and then vaulted off to crush the warrior beneath it. A golden and black monstrosity straddled its victim with a shriek. The creature, Ashigaroth, dipped its bat-like skull and snapped its heavy jaws shut on the warrior's head, silencing his cries.
Well done, Manfred. Just as we planned.
Manfred von Karstein leaned forward in his saddle. The vampire's black, ridged armor was marked by combat, and the red cloak he wore was tattered. He nodded, absently.
Of course. We should not tarry here.
No!
The vampire's manner made Tarsus wary. Normally, Manfred was flippant, seemingly unconcerned about the world around him. But he had grown increasingly more withdrawn the closer they had come to the Cairnlands. Something worried the vampire, and that in turn worried Tarsus.
It was your idea to walk into this trap in the first place, vampire, instead of simply pushing through to our goal. We lost good warriors.
You would have lost even more of your warriors if we hadn't flushed all of theirs out. You still might if you don't heed my advice. Look!
The vampire gestured towards the distant cairns and the barren plain beyond. They could hear the clash of weapons and the screams of the dying.
Sigmar's oath!
Tarsus stared at the slaughter which stretched out before him across the plain below. An edifice of stone and bone, wrought into a gigantic fortified gateway, dominated the face of a freestanding rock outcrop. In its shadow, battle raged. Bloodbound clashed with the followers of Nurgle. In the distance, standards bearing the iconography of Tzeentch rose above the fray as great hordes of warriors fought across the barren waste of the Cairnlands.
There must be thousands of them. Even we might have some difficulty fighting our way through that.
It is ever the same. Lacking other foes, the servants of the ruinous powers turn upon one another. They fight because they know nothing else. There are hundreds of warbands in this region. The full strength of the enemy fell here in the final days of Nagash's reign. They still swarm these regions, battling over the shattered husks of the Black Pyramids and the barrow walls which once protected the Starless Gates.
The vampire pointed towards the distant edifice.
The Starless Gates? Then the gate to Stygix is near.
Aye.
Manfred's hand dropped to the black shard shoved through his sword belt. The ancient artifact, known as the Fang of Cadon, gleamed with an oily radiance that set Tarsus's teeth on edge and was chased with gold. It was the Fang which had led them here. The nine gates to Stygix were things of magic, locked in a cycle of death and rebirth that saw them appear and disappear at random points in the realm of death. Only the Fang, when wielded by one who knew the secret of its working, could divine where an entrance to the underworld might appear. Sigmar had set his scribes the centuries-long task of scouring the ancient records for any hint of where the gates might be. That knowledge had been passed on to the 9 warrior chambers, including the Bullhearts, dispatched to the realm of death to find them. Manfred leaned forward.
Luckily, we will not have to attempt to fight our way through that.
We do not fear battle, vampire.
Nor do I, Stormcast. But sometimes, I question its efficacy. No, better to avoid it. You lack the numbers to punch through in any event. Your ranks have thinned greatly since I joined you.
You mean since we rescued you?
They had freed the vampire from a band of bloodbound who had made him a prisoner in the Vale of Sorrows far to the east. It had been a brash decision, made in the heat of battle, but Tarsus had no cause to regret it. At least, not yet, he thought. Despite his reservations about Manfred's loyalties, he did not begrudge the vampire's aid. They were alone in hostile territory, and Manfred had proven an able guide, if nothing else.
Enough. We have trusted his guidance this far.
He looked at Manfred.
Lead on.
Manfred smiled and patted Ashigaroth's neck.
It would be my pleasure, my friend.
The dread abyssal leapt into the air and swooped away, followed closely by Tarsus's prosecutor retinues. The storm host was in motion a few moments later, marching across the Cairnlands. Storm casts could move quickly despite the weight of their armor, and they ate up the distance at a steady pace as they moved through the silent pyramids of piled skulls. Tarsus set his scouts on the flank facing the starless gates to keep watch on the warbands fighting there. Despite his concern, their journey was uncontested. The Chaos forces in the region were seemingly more intent on joining the battle. Tarsus and Rammus marched at the head of the column.
As he said, they're too busy fighting one another to notice us slipping around them.
Or perhaps they simply don't care.
Rammus looked up, tracking the dread abyssal as it flew ahead of them.
I do not trust him, Tarsus. Despite everything, he has ever pursued his own path. He is not guiding us, he is leading us, pointing us to where he wants us to go. But why?
Because he wants what we want. Though, I'd wager for different reasons.
It was not the first time that the 2 storm casts had had this conversation. The Lord Relictor had made his suspicions clear after Manfred had led the Hallowed Knights into the ruins of the once mighty citadel state of Hellstone in search of the Fang of Cadon. Tarsus did not doubt Manfred's claims that they needed the artifact, though he did doubt the vampire's true intentions. It was not, he was certain, for their benefit alone. No, Manfred was playing a deeper game. The dead could not be trusted. An oath was an oath, a promise was a promise, and the vampire had sworn to lead them to Stygix. But it wouldn't be the first time Manfred von Karstein had broken his word. Ever since their venture into the ruins of Hellstone, he had been haunted by the faces of men and women, fellow warriors, champions of those final days, fighting alongside him. And among their number had been the face of Manfred von Karstein. Manfred, who had fought alongside the heroes of Hellstone until that final hour when he had fled, leaving his allies to die in hopeless battle. Tarsus looked up, watching the dread abyssal swoop through the slate-gray sky. The sun was a distant sphere of pale light, its strength held at bay by the will of Nagash, or so Manfred claimed. Even so, the vampire had his hood up and his cloak wrapped tight about him to protect him from the watery light.
Were we allies once? Did you truly fight alongside me then, before I was chosen by Sigmar?
Perhaps that was why he wanted to trust the vampire. But Manfred had betrayed him then. If he did so again... At the thought, Tarsus's grip on the haft of his hammer tightened. He had told Manfred nothing of his memories. Tarsem had died on the ramparts of Hellstone, and Tarsus Bullheart had a mission to accomplish whatever the cost.
Bullheart! Look ahead!
A cry from one of the prosecutors above caught his attention, and he motioned for the column to come to a halt. They had reached the mouth of a low, winding canyon. Enormous rough-hewn cliffs, stained purple, rose up before them and tapered back and down. Ashigaroth landed nearby.
There! Is it not a thing of beauty?
It is a canyon.
It is more than that.
Ramus raised his staff, and a soft blue light washed over the ground before them, revealing where the hard landscape of the Cairnlands gave way to coarse amethyst sands.
The soil is different here. The air as well. It is as if some force dropped this canyon here.
It did.
Manfred touched the fang as if to reassure himself that he still had it.
Such is the will of Nagash that reality itself gives way to him.
A field of shattered chaos icons and blasted standards marked the entrance to the canyon. They stretched as far as the eye could see, as if planted by an army which had then advanced forward, leaving them behind upright in the purple sands. The wind rose, and the rags of tanned flesh and graying hair which hung from the standards flapped and twisted in unpleasant ways.
Beauty is not the word I'd use.
Tarsus motioned his warriors forward.
Beautiful or not, we're going in.
As the storm casts advanced into the canyon, Tarsus caught sight of pale things wafting amongst the icons and heard the murmur of distant voices. He caught Manfred's eye.
Not all souls are fit to be forged anew and sent fresh into the fire of war.
How long have they been here?
The vampire drew his cloak more tightly about himself.
How long have the stars hung suspended in the firmament? Some of us must summon the dead with incantations, but Nagash draws them forth merely by striding across their graves. Where he walks, the dead stir and do not slumber again.
You speak as if he were a god.
You speak as if he were not.
A god would not have been driven into the dark to cower among tattered wraiths and fleshless courtiers.
No, he would merely have shuttered the gates of his realm and left his people to die at the talons and blades of his enemies.
The Lord Relictor turned towards Manfred, but before he could speak, Tarsus interposed himself.
Peace, brother. We come in the spirit of peace. Let old grudges be forgotten and new alliances forged.
He looked at Manfred.
As we have done.
Yes, and much has it profited us both.
The vampire turned to look back the way they had come.
The sun is stronger here than elsewhere, thanks to the attentions of the dark gods, and I would rather not brave its glare any longer than I must. Shall we go?
They had not gone much farther into the narrow, crooked confines of the canyon, however, when they were forced to halt once more. It had narrowed to a shallow point, and in front of them, rank upon rank of kneeling figures waited. Dust and white blossoms blew amongst them, but the figures did not stir. They were clad in baroque armor and clutched weapons of malign manufacture in skeletal hands. Where flesh might once have been visible, there was now only scoured bone. They filled the canyon from one wall to the other, and their number stretched back to the great bone-colored archway set into its back wall. The archway itself was more disturbing than the dead who knelt before it. It was a crooked thing of wrong angles, shaped vaguely like a hooded figure bent forward with arms outstretched. It was made from stone and bone and other macabre materials. Strange sigils gleamed from its surface, glowing with a sickly light, and their radiance made the archway appear to undulate.
The underworld lies through that archway.
And what are they?
The Desolated Legion. They were bloodbound once, champions all, and high in the blood god's esteem. They were the first to invade these lands, once the barrow walls were breached, and the first to feel the fury of Nagash. now they're whites. A reminder of Nagash's power and a warning to those who would test it.
Old bloodstains marked the purple stones of the canyon, as well as the weapons of the dead men. Tarsus knew that an ocean of blood had been spilled here, and would be again, before the war against Chaos was done.
How many have tried?
Enough to glut even the Lord of Skulls, for a time. Wherever the gate appears, they seek it out, and if they are unlucky enough to find it, well, they die in their thousands.
Will we suffer the same fate, I wonder?
A ripple of motion shivered through the ranks of the kneeling dead. Ancient armor rattled as old bones twitched and bent heads slowly rose. Weirdling lights glimmered within every helm as the cold, mindless gazes of the dead became fixed on the intruders. Manfred raised his hand. Cold fire flickered around his fingers as he urged Ashigaroth forward.
You will let us pass! Stand aside, warriors of the Desolated Legion! Stand aside, I say!
The armored ranks did not move. The silence stretched for one moment, then two, and then, with a creak of rusted joints, the Desolated Legion rose as one.
They're not listening.
Ready your shields. Hold fast, Bullhearts.
With a rattle of Sigmarite, the Liberator retinues locked their shields. Manfred snarled wordlessly and thumped Ashigaroth's flanks with his heels. As the Dread Abyssal leapt into the air, the first of the whites moved. Tarsus stepped forward to intercept it, and the rest of the Desolated Legion shuddered into motion. The dead thing lurched forwards, its axe hissing down. Tarsus smashed the weapon aside with his hammer and rammed his sword through a gap in his opponent's armor. The white staggered, but didn't fall. It raised its axe again, and Tarsus stepped back, jerking his sword free with a screech of abused metal as he did so. The axe slashed out, and he was forced to twist aside. It chopped down, tearing his cloak, and he snapped around, catching the white in the back of the skull with his hammer and causing it to stumble. He hacked at its neck, and his sword bit through rusty metal and into bone. The white's head rolled free, and he drove his shoulder into its chest, knocking it off its feet. Tarsus took in the battlefield at a glance. Manfred was still attempting to bend the dead to his will as Ashigaroth kept its master out of their reach. The storm casts were holding the enemy back, but only just. The dead knew no fear and did not hesitate. They kept coming with relentless ferocity. Worst, not all of those that fell stayed down. As Tarsus watched, a trio of blue bolts streaked skywards. Then another two. His chest tightened as he thought of the brothers he had lost since the Bullheart's arrival in the realm of death. There were scarcely 60 of his warriors left now. How many would survive to see the completion of their mission? He shook his head, banishing the thought. They would see Sigmar's will done, even if only one of them survived. They were the faithful, and they would be triumphant. A second white charged towards him, hefting a broken sword as it came. He blocked its blow and smashed its legs out from under it, dropping it into the dust. It slithered towards him, quick as a serpent, and he stamped on its head. With a roar, he brought both hammer and sword down on it, splitting it in two. Even then, it struggled to rise. Ramus drove the haft of his staff into its chest and muttered a prayer. Lightning snarled down the length of the staff and into the dead thing, reducing it to a blackened husk.
Kalali! They are proving more resilient than we were led to believe.
Then we will have to do this the hard way. We need to smash ourselves a path to the corpse road, and we need to do it now.
More and more of the dead marched forward, breaking into awkward runs as they drew near the stormcasts. They fought in silence, save for the rattle of armor and the rasp of weapons. Tarsus signaled the prosecutors wheeling above and motioned to the ground between the living and the dead.
We need breathing room. Make a gap!
The winged warriors swooped low over the ranks of the dead and sent their hammers whirling down. The front ranks of the desolated legion were hurled back, broken and smoking, as the ground was churned up and a cloud of dust thrown into the air.
Judicators! Liberators! Fall back!
The Lord Celestin looked at Ramus.
They're yours, Ramus. Guard our flanks! Retributors and decimators, to the fore!
At your command, Fullheart!
Retributor Prime Soros joined Tarsus. Both he and Gyrus, the Decimator Prime, were covered in dust, and their armor bore the signs of heavy fighting. Their retinues were holding the center of the shield wall just behind Tarsus, holding back those whites which had managed to get past the prosecutors.
The horns and the hooves, brothers!
Tarsus peered towards the dust cloud thrown up by the prosecutors' hammers. They would need to be quick, but if they could reach the entrance to the underworld, they could reform their lines and make a fighting withdrawal. Soros and Gyrus slammed their weapons together.
Horns and hooves! It shall be done, Lord Celestin!
They hurried to rejoin their retinues. Tarsus lifted his sword and hammer high.
Who will be triumphant?
Only the faithful!
The paladin's heavy ornate armor was prominently marked with a lightning bolt of Sigmar, and the massive two-handed weapons they carried shimmered with holy fire. As they strode forward at Tarsus's command, they slammed the great weapons together, adding to the clamor of war. Swiftly, the decimators took the lead, with the retributors spreading out as they followed behind. Ramus led the remainder of the storm host behind the vanguard, the liberators moving to the flanks and the rear, where their shields could do most good, and the judicator retinues moving up the center. The latter continued to fire as they moved, peppering the whites with their boltstorm crossbows. Ramus chanted as he strode forward, calling the lightning and sending it lashing among the ranks of the dead as they drew close. Tarsus broke into a run as he led the paladin brotherhoods forward. The decimators spread out around him, making a semicircle with their Lord Celestin at the center. They struck the dead with a crash, great axes smashing out to chop through legs or arms, even as they used their momentum to pull the whites aside or bear them under. Tarsus led by example, knocking his opponents, sprawling but not slowing down to finish them off. That was for the retributors. From behind him came the crackle of lightning hammers as they slammed down on the fallen whites, creating a path of bones for the stormcasts following behind. Tarsus ducked a sweeping axe blow and kicked its wielder in the chest, staggering. He lunged forward, breaking the white's arm with his hammer and decapitating it with his sword. He brushed its stumbling, headless body aside. He caught sight of a Shigaroth. The dread abyssal swooped low and plowed through the dead, scattering broken bones and bits of armor as it cleared a path for him. Manfred had seemingly given up on trying to control the whites and had settled for destroying them with sword and magic. Slowly but surely, they reached the back of the canyon where the archway rose. Hammers slammed down from above with meteoric force as the prosecutors swooped overhead, holding the dead back while their brothers fell into formation. Ramus stood just behind the liberators, his hammer across his shoulder.
Hold fast, sons of Sigmar! The dead are strong, but Sigmarite is stronger!
Tarsus drove his head into a white's grinning skull. Dropping it to its knees, he finished the job as it tried to stand.
Gyrus, Soros, lead your warriors through the archway. Manfred, go with them.
As the vampire led the paladin brotherhoods into the underworld, Tarsus signaled to the judicator retinues.
Fall back through the archway! Cover our retreat, brothers!
The judicators reacted instantly, following the others, loosing their crackling bolts as they went. The prosecutors were next, hurtling through the archway. The shield wall steadily contracted as liberators fell to the enemy or were pulled from the line by Ramus and sent towards safety.
Back, Ramus! I will hold the line until you and the others are through!
The Lord Celestine brought his weapons together, crushing the skull of another wight. He hurled the twitching body aside and parried an axe blow that might have split his helm. He steadily backed towards the archway as he fought, leaving a trail of broken bones and crawling corpses in his wake. Only when the last stormcast was past the arch did he turn and hurl himself through. Tarsus crashed to the stone and staggered up into the steadying hands of his warriors. He turned, ready to continue the fight. The desolated legion did not seem inclined to follow. The whites stared through the archway at the stormcasts, eyes flickering with witchlight. Then, as one, they turned and began to trudge away.
The archway is the limit of their malice. They could not pass it in life, and they're barred in death. Such are the caprices of Nagash.
Tarsus looked around. Barely half of his force had made it to safety. Thanks to the glow from Ramesses' staff, he could see that they stood in a pillared vestibule of stone. Strange carvings adorned the walls, and the flagstones beneath his feet were worn smooth, as if by the tread of many feet, but only in one direction.
How many more traps await us?
His voice echoed strangely in the vaulted space. He thought it changed subtly as it bounced from stone to stone, leaving him with the eerie feeling that he was somehow being mocked. Manfred shook his head.
Who can say? Nagash is mad, and fearful in his madness. He stations guards to watch other guards, and then forgets them for centuries at a time. Well, there may be an army in these catacombs, or nothing at all, save the bats.
He stroked his chin in thought.
The true danger is in the catacombs themselves. There are many routes to the heart of Stygix, all with their own perils.
We take the most direct route. We are few enough in number as it is, and I would lose no more warriors stumbling about in the dark.
The direct route is the most dangerous. There, more than anywhere else, eyes will be upon us.
Good. The sooner we are confronted by the Undying King or one of his servants, the more likely we are to accomplish our mission. Lead on.
As you will.
Manfred turned as she got off about, and the dread abyssal loped away, the storm casts following behind. The path by which Manfred led them was one of twists and turns. More than once he stopped, and they were forced to crouch in silence, waiting for the vampire to prod as she got off into motion again. Tarsus heard faint whispers, like leaves caught in a wind, as they trudged through the dark. What might have been a bat's wings brushed against his helm. Other, larger things moved in the dark around them, slithering through side tunnels and causing the ground to tremble beneath their feet. Nagash might have laid claim to the underworld, but there were more things crawling in its depths than the dead. Everywhere Tarsus looked, he saw strange sigils carved on the walls and floor and wondered what horrors they had been placed there to ward against. At last, they emerged from the cramped tunnels and out into a huge cavern, which was bisected by a wide gorge. Ancient columns lined the walls of the cavern. Most of these were broken, as were the statues which stood atop them. A wide stone bridge stretched across the gorge. Manfred gestured towards it.
Behold, the Bridge of Seven Sorrows. Once, the legions of the underworld marched here to do battle with their enemies, in the days before the coming of Nagash. Now, the great manses of the Amethyst princes lie in ruins, and their armies belong to Nagash, body and soul.
The vast span of stone was crudely carved, as if by unskilled hands. But it looked sturdy nonetheless, and it was wide enough for the storm host to march across 10 abreast. Great railings, marked at intervals by high plinths, lined its edges. Large stone bowls topped most of them, containing purple crystals, which flickered softly with a hazy radiance, casting a pale light over the bridge and the gorge beneath. Seven of the plinths, however, were occupied by tall statues, women clad in robes and ceremonial armor, with weapons in hand, their bodies contorted in agonized poses, as if each had been captured in a moment before death. They were at once regal and nightmarish, their tormented expressions seeming to shift and change in the flickering light.
Those statues?
Not statues. No, my friend. Those are nothing less than the remains of seven queens of the Skull Isles, who were betrothed to Nagash in times long past. They traded their freedom for the lives of their people. A bad bargain in the end. They were left here in the dark, and the Skull Isles burned regardless, at Nagash's command.
More and more I come to doubt the wisdom of our task. What sort of being is this to whom we intend to offer alliance?
I warned you.
It is not for us to say what is wise and what is not, my friend. It is Sigmar's will that we are here, and Sigmar's will that we seek audience with Nagash. Much is demanded of those to whom much is given, and we shall not be found wanting.
Tarsus extended his hammer.
Lead on, Manfred.
As you wish.
Ashigaroth leapt into the air with a great cry, and the vanguard of the storm host followed in the Dread Abyssal's wake. Tarsus and Rammus marched at the front, and the cavern echoed with a crash of boots on stone.
What lies below us?
The deep caverns through which runs the black blood of the underworld.
The vampire trailed off and shook himself.
Or so it is said. In any event, our destination lies not down, but across.
He pointed to the other side of the gorge.
That is where we must go to see through our cause. Past the Lich Gate and along the Dirge Road, into the heart of Stygix.
Tarsus glanced at Rammus, who nodded slightly. The Lord Relictor was ready, whatever came next. The Lord Celestant pointed towards Manfred.
Your cause, you mean? Experience made me hold my tongue before, but now, before we go any further, I would have the truth. Why help us? Not merely for gratitude's sake, I think.
Manfred whirled, his lips peeling back from his fangs in a feral snarl. He drew his sword.
Manfred von Karstein does not know the meaning of that word, I fear. Or if he does, he has never shown it.
Arkan! Where are you, Lich?
Where I have always been. By Nagash's side, as you should have been.
The sound of iron striking stone carried across the gorge as a thin robed shape stepped into the amethyst light of the crystals.
Have you come to throw yourself on his mercy, vampire?
Nagash has no mercy.
Oh, he does not.
Arkan the Black was tall, and his bones were encased in rigid armor and ragged robes, which rustled softly. He wore an ornate headdress and carried a long staff, around the tip of which strange black flames pulsed. Behind him stalked another dread abyssal, its horned skull lit by an internal fire. It screeched out a challenge, and Ashigaroth replied in kind. Arkan set his staff and rested one palm on the hilt of the tomb blade sheathed at his side. He gazed at the ranks of stormcasts and inclined his head.
You have brought allies, I see. How unexpected.
Save your mockery. Stand aside. I would see Nagash.
No. No, I do not think I will do that. Nagash himself sent me here to turn back those who dare invade his realm. That includes you, Schema.
Tarsus stepped forward.
We do not come seeking battle. We wish merely to request an audience with the Undying King. We bring word from...
Sigmar!
Tarsus hesitated, surprised.
Yes.
Nagash has no wish to hear the lies of Sigmar. Sigmar the Deceiver. Sigmar the Barbarian. Sigmar the traitor.
Be silent and step aside, you withered husk. This is not Nagash's will. It is nothing but spite. You have always feared me. Feared that the Undying King might favor my counsel over yours.
No. I do not fear, for it has long since been burned out of me. I know only duty. The Undying King raised me up, and I shall serve him all my days. But you...
The Lich pointed at Manfred.
Fear has always been your weakness, Manfred. It has killed all that you might have been, and all that you were destined to be. You were one of his Mortarks, highest of the high. Now you are nothing more than a cur, snarling for scraps.
Arkham lifted his staff.
Away with you, cur! Go, and never return!
It seems we have chosen a poor guide if he cannot even get us past the door.
Manfred whirled, a snarl on his face. Ramus raised his staff warily, and the vampire growled and turned back.
No, Arkham! No, you will give way, or I shall peel whatever passes for your soul from your fleshless frame and feed it to Ashigaroth!
Arkham looked at Manfred for a moment, and then at Tarsus.
Go back, sons of Sigmar! Go back, and I will not be forced to kill you.
We cannot. We have our duty, and we will fulfill it or die in the attempt.
Arkham was silent for long moments, his eerie gaze fixed on Tarsus.
So be it. Hold fast to your duty, as I shall to mine. Awaken, O sorrowful ones! Awaken, you brides of death! Awaken!
He raised his staff. A sound like cracking ice filled the cavern. Tarsus looked up and saw one of the seven queens was looking down at him, chunks of stone falling from her face and form. Her ravaged features suddenly twisted into an expression of utter loathing, and her mouth opened. A wild, keening wail emerged. The sound struck Tarsus like a hammer blow, and he staggered back.
Banshees!
His warning was too late, as the seven ghostly women leapt from their perches, weapons in hand. They streaked through the air over the storm casts, shrieking and wailing. Tarsus's sword chopped down through one of the banshees as it flew past, meeting no resistance. The dead woman bent forward with serpentine grace, her screams tearing at his mind and soul. Everywhere he looked, storm casts fell to their knees, clutching at their heads or clawing at the ground as the banshees tore the life from them with unceasing wails. The sword, rust-edged and age-pitted, chopped down at his head. He jerked aside and the banshee hurtled away, still screaming. A second sped towards him, her ancient spear drawing sparks from his shoulder blade even as the force of the blow spun him around. A third stalked along the center of the bridge, head thrown back, mouth wide in a cry that sent another six storm casts into death.
Manfred, do something!
I am! I intend to kill Arkham. He's more dangerous than any wailing ghost.
Ashigaroth galloped towards the Lich, surging through one of the banshees as it attempted to interpose itself.
I welcome your attempt, vampire.
Arkham climbed atop his own steed, drawing his sword as he did so.
Another chance to feel alive.
He extended his blade.
Step forward, and you will find that your greatest folly is thinking that you could ever beat me.
The two dead men and their monstrous steeds came together with a crash. Manfred fought savagely, with less grace than ferocity. Arkham, in contrast, fought with a precision that was almost impossible to credit. He parried every blow, and his own slid past Manfred's defenses with ease, eliciting increasingly frustrated snarls from the vampire. The dread abyssals tore at one another, rolling through the air over the bridge, even as their riders traded blows. Tarsa slashed at a banshee as it flew past, wailing. His warriors were dying, and there was little he could do.
Ramus! Call down the lightning!
The Lord Relictor thrust his staff forward, driving one of the creatures back, and glanced at him.
As you command!
The Lord Relictor caught his staff in both hands and drove the haft down. As it connected with the stones, the reliquary mounted on it burst into blazing blue light. Energy snarled about it and seared the nearest of the howling banshees as if she were a being of flesh rather than spirit. But the lightning did not stop there. Instead, it leapt from warhammer and axe blade, dancing across the weapons and armor of the remaining stormcasts, including Tarsus' own. He clashed hammer and sword together, and as he pulled them apart, a crackling web of lightning stretched between them.
Strike now, stormcasts! And strike true! Strike!
Tarsus did so. His hammer crunched down on a banshee's arm, and her shriek changed, becoming a cry of pain. Head throbbing with the reverberations of that cry, he swept his sword through her neck, silencing her screams. Across the bridge, his surviving warriors followed suit, lashing out with lightning-infused weapons to bring down their ethereal attackers. As the last of the banshees came apart in tatters of fog and rotting silk, Tarsus hurried towards Manfred and Arkan. The dread abyssals still fought in the air, but their riders had fallen from their saddles. Now, lich and vampire continued their duel on foot. Manfred's flesh was aflame with sorcerous fire, as were Arkan's robes. They had locked blades and now strained against one another, neither willing to retreat.
Omne flammas et spirare tuo cantu, on indicepto.
Omne flammas... Arkan spoke an incantation, and the air shuddered. Manfred was knocked back, his armor crumpling from an unseen impact and bursting into flames. Tarsus sprang to the bridge's railing as Manfred staggered back and leapt down, his sword streaking towards Arkan's skull. The lich whirled about, parrying the blow. He thrust a skeletal claw forward, but Tarsus was quicker. His hammer slammed down on Arkan's hand, and as the lich reeled, Tarsus bulled into him, carrying him backwards into a pillar. Arkan drove him back with a wild slash, but before he could recover, Manfred's blade chopped down, severing Arkan's sword hand at the wrist. Even as his hand fell, however, Arkan gestured, and his sword leapt into his remaining claw. The lich lurched around, ready to continue the fight, and Manfred hacked through his shoulder and into his sternum. He hefted his rival and slung him away. Arkan crashed down on the other side of the bridge, where he lay unmoving. Manfred swatted at the flames which still clung to his flesh and armor.
Stay down, lich! Once more, I have proven myself your superior. Why Nagash chose you as his right hand is a mystery.
Mayhap he prizes loyalty over power.
Arkan lifted his sword and set it point first into the ground. His dread abyssal crouched nearby as if awaiting orders.
Maybe you have grown stronger in your exile. Or maybe this was never about winning.
Manfred's eyes widened.
What are you?
What is it?
Something. What is that? Some new ploy, Arkan?
No ploy, Manfred. He merely wished to see if you had learned any new tricks in the wild.
Manfred looked at Tarsus.
We must retreat. Fall back to some more defensible position.
The vampire clutched at his head. Tarsus made to help him, but Manfred slapped his hand aside.
We must go!
Arkan dragged himself to his feet.
Too late, vampire. Too late to run. Too late to do anything but regret all that might have been. Death is not a thing to be played with. And now, he comes for you.
No!
Manfred took a step back, still clutching at his head.
Yes!
The word reverberated through the cavern, shaking the bats above and the monsters below from their slumber. The sound of it was a wound on the skin of reality, throbbing painfully. The crystals which lit the gorge dimmed, and Tarsus felt an ache build in his head.
What is that?
Nagash. Nagash is coming.
No, little prince. Nagash is here.
Struck through with glimmering veins of amethyst light, flooded across the ground, roiling and expanding as it approached the bridge.
Nagash is always here. Nagash is everywhere. This realm is his, and he is the realm. He is in the air and the water, in the blood and the marrow. Nagash is all, and all is Nagash.
The mist swelled, enveloping the broken form of Arkan before washing past him and coalescing into a towering nightmare figure. A skeletal giant, clad in dark armor, surrounded by a flickering corona which changed hues, ever shifting from green to black to purple and back again with painful rapidity. 9 heavy toads floated around him, tethered by thick chains, their pages flapping with a sound like the snapping of jaws. Moaning spirits swirled about him, blending together and breaking apart in a woeful dance of agony. The wide skull, lit by its own flame, gazed down at Tarsus and his warriors, and the blazing orbs that danced in its cavernous sockets brightened briefly as they lit on Tarsus. Then the rictus grin turned to Manfred.
You have called, my child, and I have come. Speak, exile. Speak, traitor.
Manfred looked at Tarsus and then took a hesitant step forward.
Oh, undying king. I have come to throw myself at your feet. I have learned humility in my time in the wilderness, and would beg thy forgiveness for past trespasses.
Nagash said nothing. Manfred licked his lips and drew the fang of Kaedon from within his cloak.
A gift, great Nagash. A gift for you. A symbol of my fealty, of my loyalty.
He trailed off as a crackling rasp like the shattering of ice floes or the crunching of bones filled the air.
A bauble.
One that I could have reclaimed at any time. You think to buy my forgiveness, Mortar?
But Nagash does not forgive.
Nagash is death, and death is without mercy, honor, or pity.
One great claw reached out, and Manfred gazed at it like a bird might stare at an approaching serpent. Tarsus stepped forward, caught the back of his cloak, and jerked the vampire back out of reach. Nagash paused, looking at the Lord Celestant.
You stink of the raging storm.
I am Tarsus, Lord Celestant of the Hallowed Knights. I have come to...
Sigmar sent him.
The vampire squirmed away from Tarsus.
The Lord of Lightning mocks you, O mighty Nagash. He plucks souls from your realm and sends them back to you as emissaries.
He sank to one knee.
And I have led them to you, that you might do with them as pleases you, as a sign of my adoration.
Tarsa stared at the vampire in consternation. The dead cannot be trusted, he thought. He turned back to see Nagash staring down at him. The undying king was silent for long moments.
At last.
Great Nagash, I have come.
You have come as a thief. You have come in company to a traitor. You
have come to die.
Tarsus felt a chill and lifted his weapons. Nagash flicked a finger, and a coruscating bolt of black force slammed into his chest, pitching him into the air and over the heads of his remaining stormcasts. He struck the bridge with a loud clang and skidded backwards in a spray of sparks until he struck a plinth. Pain enveloped him for long moments. He couldn't move or speak. He could barely breathe. All he could do was watch as Rammus led the last of their warrior chamber in battle against the undying king.
Forward!
Warriors fell at Nagash's nearest gesture, their bodies wreathed in black flames or amethyst light. The souls which swirled about the great necromancer launched themselves at the stormcasts, tearing spirit from flesh wherever they passed. But no blue light shone, and no bolts of crackling lightning streaked upwards from the fallen. Something was preventing their escape. Tarsus shuddered and tried to pull himself up. Nagash was not simply killing them. He was capturing their spirits somehow, preventing them from returning to the soul forges. Soon, only a scattered few remained, and Rammus himself. Lightning splashed across Nagash as harmlessly as water. The undying king motioned, and a liberator fell, enveloped in flames. Rammus dropped his staff and lunged forward, hammer clutched in both hands. His first blow made Nagash take a step back. His second thudded into a waiting palm, and Nagash's hand closed about the hammer's head. The blessed Sigmarite flared once, and then came apart as if it were nothing more than sand. Rammus staggered back, and Nagash caught him up, enveloping his head in one metal talon. He jerked the Lord Relictor into the air. He turned to swat a liberator into the side of the bridge, hard enough to shatter the stone railing, and sent the stormcast into the abyss below. The remainder fought on, but to no avail. Nagash was no mortal enemy or demonic servant. He was death itself, and wherever his gaze fell, stormcasts died. Blearily, Tarsus looked up as Manfred dropped from Ashigaroth's back to crouch beside him.
You still live? Can you stand?
Why? Help me.
Past Manfred, Tarsus saw a retinue of Judicators torn apart by Nagash's dark magic. The last of the prosecutors fell, lightning wings dimming. A retributor staggered back, clawing at his helm as a dark mist engulfed him. Tarsus's warriors were dying, and he was helpless to aid them. Manfred helped him to sit up.
Why, he asks? You freed me, Tarsus. You trusted me, though every instinct must have told you that I was not to be trusted.
He hesitated.
You remind me of someone. From another time. Another man who fought beside me and trusted me, though he knew better. For his sake, I will see you to safety, and then my debt to you, to him, is paid.
Tarsus pushed himself to his feet.
Go.
What?
Go, Manfred.
No more is required of you. Your debt is paid.
Tarsus retrieved his hammer. His sword was gone, likely lost to the gorge. He heard Rammus cry out, and the roar of lightning. Manfred stepped in front of him.
This is madness! Nagash has what he wants. You've tried to deliver your message. I still have the Fang. We can escape. I will take you anywhere you wish to go, back to Azir even, but let us go now!
Tarsus pushed Manfred aside with his hammer.
There is nowhere to go. I am Stormcast and my duty is clear. Nagash must be made to see reason. He traps the souls of my brothers, and I cannot allow that.
You cannot stop him. Nagash cannot be defeated. Not here in this place of power.
Manfred grabbed Tarsus's arm. Tarsus shrugged him off and turned.
You did not always believe that to be so, Manfred. Else why would you be here now? Why would you have stood with me in Hellstone's final hours?
Manfred stepped back, eyes widening.
What?
Run, Manfred. Run as you did then, when fire rained down and the earth trembled in sorrow. Take your freedom and run. I will hold Nagash's attention for as long as I can.
Tarsus gestured back the way they had come.
But go now, unless you intend to stand with Tarsim of Hellstone once more.
Tarsim? What are you?
I am Stormcast!
Tarsus raised his hammer in salute and turned. Manfred did not follow him as the Lord Celestant began to run. He heard a Shigaroth shriek as Manfred coaxed the beast into the air, but he did not look back. Memories of his past, of his final mortal moments, rose wild within him. Fire and shadow, the clash of steel, pain of a mortal blow. Manfred had fought beside him then, his reasons his own, but then as now, he had fled when hope was lost. Such was his nature, and Tarsus did not fault him for it. The dead could not be trusted, after all. It didn't matter. Even then, he'd known that Manfred had his own destiny. Hellstone had been Tarsim's, and the Bridge of Seven Sorrows was Tarsus's. However fast he fled, however far he ran, fate would catch up with Manfred von Karstein in the end. Nagash still held Rammus. The Lord Relictor struggled against the titanic lich's grip, but could not break free. As Tarsus drew close, Nagash seared the life from the last of the Bullhearts with a bolt of sorcerous fire. Closed his eyes.
Only the faithful.
Tarsus stalked towards the towering figure, weapon in hand.
Nagash! Release him!
Nagash looked at Tarsus and then down at Rammus. The Lord Relictor clawed at Nagash's hand, beating on it with useless fists.
Yes. I will release him.
Purple light flared, and the Lord Relictor went limp, smoke rising from the joints of his armor. Nagash examined him for a moment, and then tossed him aside. He looked at Tarsus.
You do not flee.
We came to bring you a message, and I will deliver it, whatever the consequences. Sigmar would have words with you. He wishes to speak of the past and the future. Of what has been done, and the work yet to do.
The Lord Celestant strode forward as he spoke. He heard the voices of the dead calling to him out of the dim reaches of his past, calling to the man he had been, calling out for Tarsim. He saw faces, men and women, fellow warriors, champions of the final days, walking alongside him as he stepped over the bodies of his fellow Stormcasts. He could see blue strands of lightning struggling within the fallen Bullhearts. The souls of his warriors yearned to return to Azir. But something had ensnared them. Nagash, he thought. Nagash was holding the spirits of Rammus and the others trapped somehow. As he watched, he saw a spark of blue bulge upwards from Rammus' smoking form, fighting to be free. Nagash gestured sharply, and the Lord Relictor's spirit thrashed as if in agony. Another body began to dissolve into motes of azure lightning, and Nagash swept a talon out, forcing the body to cohere once more.
You will not escape me, little souls. I am master here, not Sigmar.
No. No, you are not. Not as much as you pretend.
If he could distract Nagash, the spirits of his fallen brethren might yet be able to escape the realm of death. If nothing else, some of them might be returned to Sigmaron, where they could tell Sigmar of all that they had learned. But first, he had to distract a creature whose power rivaled that of the God King himself. It was a slim hope, but he held firm to it.
Much is demanded of those to whom much is given.
Nagash leaned towards Tarsus as he drew close, terrible energies coalescing about his claw.
I care not what Sigmar wants. I will hurl him from his throne as surely as I will cast down the dark gods. I am Nagash. None may make demands of me.
Tarsus caught hold of the hem of his cloak and twisted about, letting it flare out around him. The enchantment within its weave was unleashed, and phantasmal hammers hurtled forward to strike the looming shape of Nagash in a flash of lightning. A bellow of surprise shook the cavern and nearly knocked Tarsus from his feet. Stalactites fell from the ceiling to crash into the bridge, filling the air with splinters of rock. Shattered columns tumbled from their pedestals to break apart and shake the floor, throwing clouds of dust into the air. For a moment, he thought it hadn't been enough. Then, the first explosion of blue light streaked upwards to vanish into the darkness above. More followed, one after the next, until the whole cavern burned with the light of the hallowed night's passing.
No!
Nagash lashed out at Tarsus. He hit the ground hard enough to crack the stone. He shoved himself to his hands and feet, trying to suck air into his bruised lungs. Nagash strode out of the dust, even as the blue glow faded.
Never mind!
Tarsus pushed himself to his feet. He swayed slightly. Something was broken within him, and every intake of breath sent a pulse of agony through his body.
They are Sigmar's, and they will be forged anew by his hand.
Then I will kill them again!
Perhaps, but not today.
Tarsus lifted his hammer.
Who will be victorious?
Nagash cocked his head.
Only the faithful!
Tarsus stepped up onto one of the fallen columns and leapt, hammer raised. Nagash swept out a hand, filling the air with amethyst light. And Tarsus Bullheart was no more.
Consolation in the fact of your insignificance. Your soul struggles yet, like a fly caught in a spider's web. But Nagash is no spider. He is your master, Tarsim of Hellstone. He is your master, Tarsus Bullhard. Whatever name the thief Sigmar has cloaked you with, you are still mine. I will pluck you apart, strand by strand, and dig from you the secrets you keep. You will scream, but you shall not find respite in oblivion. Not until Nagash knows all. I will know how Sigmar has done this, how he has stolen what is mine. And when my curiosity is satisfied, I shall rise from my throne and shake off the dust of ages. I shall stride forth like a conqueror of old and shatter the shields of my enemies. I shall pull down their towers and tear their beating hearts from their chests. I shall find the treacherous princeling wherever he has fled and chain him to my throne. None may defy Nagash and escape retribution. My loyal Mortarks gather in the dark places, readying my 999 legions for the war to come. Soon, they shall march at my command to once more impose my will upon all that is and all that shall be. I shall not be denied. I shall not be thwarted. All shall kneel before Nagash. All shall bow. Even those who cast off my protection and flee into the wilderness. Even the God King on his throne. The only reason you exist is to serve my will. Nagash is all things. All are one in Nagash. I am the dark at the end of everything. The end of all things made real. I am Nagash. I have risen.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.